This morning we're back to our series on freedom. And you know what? These subjects, they're all interrelated. I think we've probably got free to lead in about the right position in the list. You can't come in on free to lead without looking at all the other ones on the way. We talked about freedom to worship. No one can lead if they're not worshiping. Freedom to love. No one can lead if they're not loving. Freedom to forgive, to offer forgiveness, to forgive others, to ask for forgiveness. If we don't get that, we can't be leading. Freedom to celebrate. We can't be leaders if we don't know how to celebrate. I don't want leaders leading us in grumpiness. We've got enough of that anyway. You don't need a leader to help you to be grumpy, right? Giving and receiving, we need leaders who already understand this grace about giving, about receiving, communicating and relating, serving and being served. And if we're beginning to sort of kind of get those things in place, we're not perfect, but if we get them in place, yes, we can move on, talk about leadership. But what do we mean? What does it mean to lead? Particularly in the context of local church, what does it mean to lead? How can any of us lead? Perhaps even the thought of leadership fills us with horror. Would you listen, please, to three statements about leadership and criticize them in your mind? Are they true? Are they really true? Do they really get to the heart of the matter? Or is there something even deeper? Imagine these were the only three statements about leadership. Is there something we need to add? So first of all, what we need more than anything in our world today is good, strong leaders. Is that true? Is it true enough? Does it get deep enough? Let's move on. We need people who have the courage to lead. Is that true? Is it true enough? Is there something even deeper we need? We need people who can set an example. Is that true? I think they're all true. Absolutely. Having the ability to lead is important. Being able to set an example is so significant. Courage is so essential. But are they the most important attributes? Is there something we need when we talk about Christian leadership even more? Let me tell you what I think. I think that we need people who will follow. The basics of leadership, we need people who will follow Jesus. A true leader is one who follows God in front of the people. Is that right? The leader of God is the one who follows God in front of the people. God called Moses to lead the people of Israel at a very critical time in their history. But actually, you see, God called Moses to follow him. And that's what we see Moses doing. He's following God in front of the people. What do we need most in our churches today? What do we need most here at Great Holland's Free Church? We would love to have more people who could lead up the front. Is that right? We pray for God to raise up people who can lead at the front. But actually, what we're looking for is people who can follow from the front. Does that make sense? People who will follow God, follow God's calling in their daily life. You can't be following God at the front if you're not following him in your daily life. 24/7, as we say these days. People who are following God in private, where it matters the most, and at the front too. People who will follow from the front. in worship, in love, in forgiveness, in celebration, in this important thing of giving, receiving, communicating, relating, serving, and being served. What does the Bible say? How did Jesus deal with his disciples? Let's think about Simon. You know Simon, also known as Peter. Simon Peter. Let's think of him as an example. When we meet him in the Bible, he's working in the fishing industry. It is hard, physically demanding work. And when Jesus sees Simon Peter as Jesus is walking beside Lake Galilee, somehow Jesus just knows that one day Peter is going to become a very significant leader in Jesus' brand new organization, the church. But when Jesus calls Simon Peter to get involved and essentially to lead, but actually, what does Jesus say to him? The word is not to lead, but to follow. Go on, let's have a look. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. Mark 1, 16 to 18. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed Jesus. What is Peter going to be sent out to do? Any answers? To fish for people, yeah? He's going to be sent out to fish for people. But what is he called to do? He's called to follow. Do you get that? Yeah? Which one action will lead to the other? Which is the order of priority? It's the following Jesus that is going to lead to the leadership ministry role. So important we get the order right. Now, if you know your Bibles and you know about Simon Peter, you know the ups and downs that he went through in his life. Like the waves on the lake. And perhaps one of the most graphic times of the ups and the downs is when Jesus is walking towards him on the lake and Peter, in faith, steps out and starts walking to Jesus on the water. But then doubt comes. He looks down. He starts to sink. He's up, he's down. Then Jesus holds out his hands and he's up again in the boat. But that doesn't compare with the ups and the downs on that night when he denies even knowing Jesus. Simon had already been following Jesus for about 3 years on the night when Jesus was arrested. The tragedy is this, that when it came to the crunch, he denied that he even knew Jesus. And the amazing thing is this, that even after Simon had let Jesus down, Jesus forgave Simon Peter and gave him a job to do, to care for the first century church. In those words, we know that Jesus says to him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." To become a really important leader in the church. But even then, Jesus does not call Simon Peter primarily to lead, but to follow. I bet you're already there with me. John chapter 21. John 21. But before we read it, what do you reckon? If you've got something really important to discuss with someone, don't you try and create a conducive atmosphere What makes a good setting to discuss something, particularly if it's a little bit kind of nitty-gritty, you know? Over a coffee maybe, or some nibbles, lunch perhaps, or even a breakfast. Sometimes, I don't know if you've got this, sometimes actually, if you've got something really important to talk about, it's best to do the food bit first, then have the chat afterwards. You know, you don't want your friend to choke on their breakfast, right? Now, Jesus knew this, I guess, because Jesus makes breakfast for Peter, Simon Peter. He's got something really important to discuss. He makes him breakfast. The grace of God. He lets Peter finish his breakfast first, and then they have to chat. And if you look at the questions that Jesus asked, you'll see why they weren't the sort of questions you want to be asked when you're munching your barbecue breakfast. Yeah? Have a look with me. John 21, when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, when they'd finished eating, you get it? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? How many of you would find that easy to answer with a mouthful of food? You know? Do you love me more than these? Don't even know what he means exactly by more than these, but do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, follow me. What did Jesus tell Peter to do? Two things. Feed my sheep, follow me. In this passage we're looking at, feed my sheep, follow me. Peter is called to feed Jesus' sheep. We understand this to mean take on a leadership role, look after people on God's behalf. This is a leadership role. Peter is being called to lead. And you know, the theme of all of our subjects, we're not just talking about leadership, we're talking about free to lead. So how is Peter going to be free to lead? How is he going to stay free to lead when all the temptations come in? The temptations to give up, the temptations to look after number one, and so on and so on. How is he going to stay free to lead? Well, look, the command to lead, the command to feed Jesus' sheep is sandwiched between a question and another command. You can see it on the screen there. The command, feed my sheep, is sandwiched between the question, do you love me? And the other command, follow me. Perhaps you want to make a note in your mind of those three. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Follow me. And we must adopt this model in our church today. We must not be looking primarily for people who can lead. We must be looking for people who are already following Jesus. People who are already following Jesus, and then we invite them not only to follow Jesus in their own lives, but to follow Jesus at the front as a leader of a group, an activity, whatever we need. God wants to set us free to follow him. Remember the questions. Do you love me? Feed my sheep, the command. Follow me, the command. And I guess the question that Jesus is asking all of us this morning is, do you love me? And I hope for each one of us the answer is yes. If the answer is no, well, there's not really any point listening to the rest of the message. You might as well just go and get a coffee or go for a walk in the sunshine. But if the answer is yes, then hang on with me if you're willing. Shall we look at a few principles about leadership that build on this? Five principles, if you're willing. And they're coming up on the screen. Number one, be humble. We've already, before the children left, looked at this scripture regarding Moses. Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. How does the Bible describe Moses? What must surely be his most outstanding characteristic as recorded in Scripture? Numbers 12, verse 3 says, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And my friends, if we are going to lead, we must be humble. Remember, leadership is following from the front. We need to be humble to follow from the front. Humble to lead as part of a team. To follow from the front as part of a team. Sometimes, because we all have different roles, and so many of us are involved in leadership here, all at different times. And sometimes we're called to be the team leader. Sometimes we're called to support the team leader. Whatever the role, whatever the occasion, whatever the moment, we need to be humble as we follow Jesus from the front in a leadership role. We've got to involve ourselves in teamwork. We've got to work as a team. Teamwork is not about a hierarchy, but sometimes there is a leadership structure that we need to respect. Great Holland's Free Church is a medium-sized organization, perhaps you could say. And it's right that we try and keep the structures as simple as possible. But where we have a leadership structure, let's respect the structure. You might say, why? Well, because if everyone does their own thing, does that really bless the church? Does that hold the name of Jesus in high esteem if we all do our own thing without being part of a team? If you're a leader and you're appointed to lead a certain event or a certain activity or a certain department, keep in touch with the other leaders. Keep the rest of the team informed. Learn to communicate. One of the things I hear so often, the kind of sentiment, I have not got time to communicate, says someone. But actually, as a church, we have not got time for you to not communicate. Do you get it? I have not got time to communicate, says one of us. But actually, as a church, we have not got time for you not to communicate. Clear communication actually often saves loads of time down the line. Put it another way. Good, humble communication does not cost much. But it saves loads. Do you like that one? Do you get it? Good, humble communication does not cost much, but it saves loads. Pride says, I can do it on my own. The humble heart says, I will work with others. You may have heard it said that leadership is a lonely road, and at times it is a lonely road, and at times it has to be a lonely road. But please, my friends, do not be the one that makes it a lonely road. Do you get that? As we communicate, as we work as part of a team, as we respect the structures we've got, let's communicate, let's work as part of a team. That's the first point. The second one, they don't get any easier, my friends, so there's no point in pretending. They don't get any easier. Number two, know what you are building. All of us, we need to know what we are building. Let's ask ourselves honestly, what am I building? Am I building my own empire, or am I working together with God to build his church and to build his kingdom? That question, the answer to that question is going to change loads, right? Knowing what we are building changes our attitude. Knowing what we are building, it keeps us on track. It keeps us focused. It keeps us humble. Jesus knew that he wasn't building his own thing. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what does Jesus say? Not my will, but yours be done. Kind of like he's saying, I know what I want. I know what would be easiest in this situation. I know what I'm tempted to do in this situation. But it's not what I want that is important. It's what you want, Father, that is important. We need to know what we are building. What about the builders in the book of Genesis? In that place that got named Babel. Building a city. Building a tower. And for the sake of creating a name. But who were they wanting to make the name for? Ourselves. Not for God. Ourselves. Not for God. So we've got to ask ourselves honestly, what am I building? Am I building my own empire? Or am I working together with God to build his church, to build his kingdom? Number three. You don't need a job title to lead. That's a good one, yeah? You don't need a job title to lead. Well, is that true? Do I need a job title to lead? Or can I start leading by example right here, right now? You don't have to be the boss to lead. Do some of you remember the 1990s? Some of the big things that were going on in the 90s? Do you remember the poll tax? Oh, that was popular. That was popular. We loved the poll tax. What about the other thing that went on in the 90s? The closing down of mental health institutions? And there was this thing about care in the community? And maybe the long-term goal was good and right, but somewhere in the middle, care in the community became abandoned in the community. And I know, because I was working for an organisation in London providing hostel accommodation. We had three types of people. We had workers who had enough money to pay their own rent, and so they were treated the best. We had students who were the next generation of brains, so they were treated second best. And we had those who had been pushed out into the community, abandoned in the community. And their needs were so often overlooked. One of the policies in the hostel was that they provided two meals a day, Monday to Friday, breakfast, evening meal. At the weekends, because maybe a lot of the students would go home anyway, and workers would go and visit family and so on, for whatever reason, it was deemed at the weekend, just breakfast, no evening meal. So the people who had been pushed out into the community, care in the community, or abandoned in the community, were abandoned at the weekend. Nothing to eat, nothing to do. And I was in the most junior position. I was just a receptionist. I didn't even like my job. In fact, I hated my job. Because of all that was going on. And I used to think to myself, if I was the boss here, the changes I could make. And then I realized one day, actually, I could do something right here, right now, even if I get into trouble for doing it. So after I'd finished my shift one day, and these guys had been talking to me, because I was on the reception, so they were milling around all day, you know. And it was now the end of my shift. I said, look, guys, what I'll do is I'll go to the shop and get whatever I can. And I bought hot dog sausages and bread and so on, with an electric kettle and a bowl. We heated up the sausages, still in a little wrapper, you know, got some mustard and so on. We sat down and had a meal in the common room. I was afraid that maybe the security guy would come and then would report what I'd done and that it was the wrong thing to do and so on and so on. But actually, I had to do something. Another time we took those guys out and we went and had a picnic out on the green space. I didn't have much in terms of resources. I wasn't senior in position. But sometimes we're called to serve right here, right now. Serve. And as we serve, we are leading. You don't have to be the boss to lead. You don't have to have a job title to lead. You don't have to be the boss to lead. I think we need to grab hold of that one. Let's move on, Greg, to the next one, number four. This one is really important for church leadership. And it's been mulling over in my mind for some years now. I've spoken to other church leaders about it and so on. Let me read it to you. The way we stand down from leadership, the way we stand down is as important as the way we step up to leadership. Does that make sense? Can you just let that one, you know, soak in? The way we stand down from leadership is as important as the way we step up to leadership. Look, we can all lead all the time by example in those spontaneous actions, like the one I've just said about, you know, feeding the people who needed some food. That's a spontaneous thing. But sometimes we're called to take on a formal leadership role, perhaps within the church, perhaps within the community. Perhaps we're called to take on a formal role, such as a pastor, or as a leader, or as an elder, a deacon perhaps, a teacher, a children's coordinator, a youth worker, a worship leader. And in this context, the way we stand down from leadership is as important as the way we step up to leadership. And I tell you something else. The way we stand down from leadership says more about our character. Character is who we really are when no one's looking. It says more about our character than the way we step up to leadership. So, the advice that we must give one another is serve faithfully as an official leader during your term of office, whatever it is, whilst you're on the rota, whilst you have that official role. And when it's time to stand down for whatever reason, it might simply be time to let someone else have a go, we must do so gracefully, and we must do so gratefully. And I believe that we must continue to serve as a member of the church. We must continue to serve as a member of the body of Christ. And dear Trevor, he kind of touched on this in his message a few weeks ago. What a tragedy when people stand down as leaders within their local church and do not do it gracefully and do not do it gratefully and cause trouble within the church. What a tragedy. Let's move on to the last one, because they're all linked. They're all linked. Everything that we talked about today is linked. It's linked in what we've been talking about the last few weeks too. Leadership is as much about being as it is about doing. Is that true? You know what? We're not actually human doings. Did you get that? We're actually human beings. The way we are is as important as what we do. Our attitude really matters. We've got to develop the right attitude towards being. And there is a section of scripture, the Bible itself doesn't use the word, but a lot of people have given that passage of scripture the word, the be attitudes. And we've got to look at them and embrace them. These attitudes that tell us how we've got to be. Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the story, early on in the gospel. But look what it says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He began to teach his disciples. These are going to be the leaders. Tomorrow, they're going to be called to lead. And next week, and next month, and next year. He's talking to his first leadership team and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We say it again, we've got to be humble. We've got to know our need for God. We've got to know that we don't know it all. Blessed are those who mourn, says Jesus, for they will be comforted. We've already said that leadership can be a lonely road, a road of suffering, a narrow road. Being means that at times we accept that. We go with it. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We get it again, that word meek links in with humble, links in with being poor in spirit. What about the next one, verse 6? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember, Jesus talking to his leadership team. Blessed are you when you are hungry and thirsty to do the right thing. And then you will be filled. Righteousness. Making the right decision. Doing the right thing. Getting together humbly and saying, guys, what should we be doing in this situation? Respecting each other. Making the right decision. Doing what is right. And one thing that I know we talk about at times, not only doing what is right, but being seen to be doing what is right. And when you've dealt with that one, make sure you continue doing what is right. Ask for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Consult with the other leaders for advice. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In leadership, there will always be the potential for misunderstanding, miscommunication, conflict, hurt, confusion. As leaders, we are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be the first person to go to the other and apologize. Maybe they weren't even offended, but go and apologize anyway. Be a peacemaker. Be the first to accept an apology. How often, even in our families, even in our churches, someone makes an apology and then the person, instead of who's been asked to forgive them, we get all that nonsense, you know, kind of, yeah, but you shouldn't have done it, and so on and so on. God's given us this most amazing gift. It's called forgiveness. It is the best kept secret in our world today. It is the best kept secret, I tell you. What a tragedy. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Didn't we have that question a bit earlier on? Whose kingdom? Who, you know, what are we building? For who are we building? If we are persecuted because of doing the right thing, that's what righteousness means, for doing the right thing, for being the right people, for having the right attitude. If we are persecuted, if we suffer as a result, let's not see it as a tragedy. Let's remember we're not building our own kingdom. We're embracing a kingdom. We're part of a kingdom that God is building. And it's a kingdom that's going to last forever. In summary, let's be humble. Let's know what we are building. Let's remember we do not need a job title to lead. Let's remember that the way we stand down from leadership is as important as the way we step up to leadership. Let's remember that leadership is as much about being as it is about doing. My friends, that was quite a long message. I hope when you get in your little cars and drive home, you'll talk about the content, not the length.